Coming up next, 7 reasons why employees hate their leaders, and then teachers who have left the classroom to be successful entrepreneurs, and then we have a pizza delivery problem? We'll cover it all, plus coach you up right now. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you discover and do what you were born to do, giving you the competitive edge to make more money and to make more impact in your career. Thrilled to have you with us. We've got today kind of a fun little thing here on the table. We've got our Instagram audience at Ken Coleman. They are tuning in live. Hello, hello, hello. And of course, we have folks watching live on YouTube, and we call them the YouTube crazies. We'll get in the chat room maybe a little bit later. So welcome one and all. Let's go. 7 reasons why employees hate, despise, can't stand their leader. I mean, we see more and more of this in today's world, right? Where horrible bossery is what we call it on the show, is why people leave. They don't leave companies, they leave leaders. So I've worked with a team, and we came up with a list of 7. There's probably a list of 70, but we wanted to kind of fine tune it into 7 reasons. So let's get into it. Number one, not being accessible. When your leader is not accessible, it creates all kinds of frustrations, and those frustrations mount. You can't ever get to them. You need a little bit of feedback. You need their help. You need their input on something, and they just seem like they don't have time for you. You're a bother. Number two, how about cryptic communication? This is one that has always been a pet peeve for me. Leaders who speak kind of in gray, not black and white, right? What did they really mean by that? Are they manipulating me, or are they just horrible communicators? Sometimes it's both. Cryptic communication. It's where your manager will schedule a meeting, but they never really tell you what it's about. It's like the old dreaded, we need to talk. You know that? And the relationship, that's never any good. And then you're dying inside. Why do we need to talk? That can't be good. Are you dumping me? What's going on? The cryptic communication from leaders creates all kinds of stress and anxiety. It's horrible. Number three, how about revealing big news that has an impact on you, but they don't tell you one-on-one, they tell you in a group setting. So you have no time to process it. It's just like, hey, everybody, we're cutting benefits. Just dropping that on you. Number four, micromanaging. Oh, boy, oh, boy. This could be an entire show. In fact, every time I do a Q&A on Instagram, I'll say, ask me anything, and people ask me all different types of questions. But one of the things that we see a pattern of is how do I deal with a micromanaging leader? I mean, this is a big one. I like to call micromanagers seagull leaders. Seagull leaders. Yeah, you know what a seagull leader is, right? All they do is fly in, squawk, crap on everybody, and then they fly away, right? I mean, the micromanager is a seagull leader. There's nothing good happening there. And let me just give you a little extra insight on this before we move through the list. Just because they're a seagull leader, and by the way, this makes them a horrible leader, doesn't mean they're a horrible person. I want to call this out. I don't want you to demonize somebody who has either never been taught or never been modeled the way to lead from a servant standpoint. So all they've ever known is, got to fly around, make a bunch of noise, look like I'm leading, and then I'm unintentionally or sometimes intentionally crapping on people. All right, so the micromanager. They tell you exactly how to do it. Instead of giving you space to do it, they may instruct, but then they keep instructing and they hover. I mean, who among us does well with a hoverer? So give you an example where I really struggle with hovering. So I'm self-taught, Alex, as a typer. You've seen me type. It's not pretty. I didn't take typing in high school. I hated it. It was an elective. I was terrible at it, so I skipped it. And so I'm self-taught. So I'm functional typing. But here's what happens. All right, I'm going to kind of, for our viewing audience, if somebody comes up behind me and I'm even just searching for something, so let's say Alex was searching for something on Google, and Alex is standing there or Amanda's standing there over my shoulder, and I have to type something, I turn into this. I'm pecking with it. It's like I get all anxious. Why? They're hovering. I'll give you another example. I love to play golf. All right. If I'm golfing with my friends and I get up to the tee, I got a little bit of performance issues going on there. Everybody does. Okay, all my buddies are watching. But it's really worse when another foursome comes up behind you. You don't know these people. And they're in the cart behind you watching you tee off. Oh, boy, it's terrifying. So very few of us do well with hovering. We get that. So with micromanaging, what do? You're going to have to put that out of your mind. You're going to have to show a little bit of respect to the position, but you're just going to have to largely ignore the hovering or you move on. And by the way, most people move on from micromanagers. They don't stay anyway. So there you go. Number five, how about the leaders who pit workers against each other? This is manipulation, right? They kind of manipulate and they use one person to send a message to another person instead of being the leader and dealing with it directly. Oh, I can't stand that. That'll drive dissension deeper than any other poor leadership tactic. Number six, how about leaders who take credit for your work? It's the classic Michael Scott, right? From The Office. You do a good job, you deliver the results, and your leader takes all the credit for it as if you weren't even involved. Boy, again, that'll drive a wedge quickly. How about number seven, the unhelpful feedback? So it's not constructive in that it gives you something to be able to process and go, okay, I didn't do this the right way. Here is the right way to do it. Or I didn't meet expectations. Here's why, but here's how you can meet them in the future. So it's a little bit of a sandwich, right? So we got some constructive criticism and then we got some encouragement, right? Kind of sandwiched in there with, okay, now go do it. Empowerment. That's a great little sandwich for leaders. Hey, constructive criticism, encouragement. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. Here's how to do it. Instruct. And then boom, go do it. You don't have to be worried about messing up again. Take the lessons you've learned and move on. This is healthy leadership. But unhelpful feedback is where you just get criticism only. And you largely walk out of the office or out of the interaction. And you're just kind of like, I'm not quite sure what to do with that. And this is what a lot of leaders do. They think, in criticizing and showing, well, you didn't do this the right way. Boy, I got a fun parent project coming up with my boys. My two teenage boys, they're unaware of this yet, Alex. But they're about to be voluntold that they're going to stain our fence. We replaced some posts and some slats in the backyard fence. And so it occurs to me, wait a second, I'm a grown man. I do everything for these kids. They're 14 and 16. Hey, I'm not going to stain my fence. They haven't been told this yet. So this is going to be very exciting for me to break this news. But here's the deal. When they start to stain it, they will inevitably not do it very well. And I have to come alongside and go, hey, look, here's how you do this. So just as I have a relationship with my boys, leaders need a relationship, because the problem is these behaviors I just laid out, they create dislike and distrust. So what's the solution? Leaders, just treat your people like I'm going to treat my boys. I care about them. I'm going to show them to do it the right way. I'm going to encourage them that they can do it the right way, and go. Healthy relationships in the workplace creates trust and loyalty. Got to treat people like they matter. In the News is next. Don't move. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you get the competitive edge to do what you were born to do. And in that competitive edge to do what you were born to do, guess what's going to happen? You're going to make more money and you're going to make more impact in your professional life. Who doesn't want that? So excited to have you with us. Today, I'm doing a little fun thing. I got some Instagram folks that are watching live at Ken Coleman on Instagram. I want to say a shout out to all of you that are listening live on SiriusXM, your talk radio station, watching live on YouTube. And those of you who will listen to the podcast later, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. We've got our live chat room on YouTube, the YouTube Crazies. And so here we go. As a man of the people, I am here for you, your coach, your guide, your advocate. I keep you up to date on what you need to know in the news. Let's go. All right, folks, this makes me a little bit sad, but it also makes me a little bit happy. This is a bittersweet article because I've been talking about this issue for a while, that we have a crisis in our public education system where the system itself is broken because of bureaucrats and politicians. And the victims are teachers and principals and kids. And teachers are leaving at alarming rates. Let's go into this story. Our YouTube audience loves when I crinkle the paper. So that tells you this is serious business. When I do this, it means pay attention. All right, here we go. Teachers are quitting in record numbers and starting six-figure businesses. Here's how four entrepreneurs did it. This is an article from Business Insider, and it highlights four teachers. We'll get to their stories in a moment. But again, for those of you who are new, we got a lot of people joining the show all the time. What do I mean when I say we have a crisis in the public education system? Well, the system is all about politician scores and getting reelected. It's not about educating kids. So everything's about these standardized tests. As a result, we're pounding curiosity out of our kids generation after generation, and we're creating kids that become adults who are answer givers. In other words, test takers, not pathfinders. That's the big overarching problem. But the dumpster fire that's going on are these numbers. Teacher pay is $2,100 less than 10 years ago, and 55% of educators plan to leave the industry early. This is according to the NEA, the big teacher union. These aren't my data points. These aren't conservative Republican talking points. This is the NEA. By November of last year, 66% more K-12 teachers quit their jobs than the same month a year prior. That is alarming. This is a report from LinkedIn. The pandemic, it was already an exhausting job. The pandemic made it worse with the double duty of they had to prepare online learning courses along with the classroom. Certain states, they were back in the classroom more than others. It just created more and more work. I've talked to teachers over the last 3 months. I've talked to over a handful of teachers, and they've all told me that the additional workload is straining their ability to actually instruct. Did you get that? People are leaving in droves. The data on principals is nearly as high. This is a problem. And we, the people, are in charge of this. It's time we stop letting politicians and bureaucrats decide how we prepare our kids for their future. That's another show. I want to encourage teachers who do want to leave. You're done. And I get a lot of those calls. These are four amazing stories. Amanda Smith from Dallas started hosting brunches and workshops for women in 2017 after moving to Dallas and not knowing many people. Well, it began as a way for her to make friends and turned into conferences and a podcast about entrepreneurship, lifestyle, and self-care. There she is on the screen if you're watching. Look how happy she looks. By the end of 2020, she had quit her job as a K-6 music teacher and expanded her business into coaching. Her company, Dallas Girl Gang, generated more than $178,000 in revenue last year. Shelby Ashworth is next. She stopped teaching for more flexible hours and created an Etsy store. There she is on the screen if you're watching. She's from just around the corner in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. She launched an Etsy shop in 2016, selling handwritten prints and templates for extra income. Listen to this, teachers. She always loved incorporating design and creative elements into her lesson plans as a kindergarten and preschool teacher. So she let her contract expire in May 2021. Listen to this. This is a fantastic pivot. She pivoted into a job in graphic design. Now, one of the things I get from a lot of teachers who know that their time in public school is done is they call me and they say, Ken, help me with some ideas. What can I do? And one of the first things I like to say to them is, hey, you have skills and experience that are transferable. You aren't limited or locked into a public school classroom. And that's a lesson for all of us today. Just because we get this from military men and women who call the show. Ken, I don't think I can do anything in the private sector. And so this is a factor of doubt that a lot of people deal with. And I want to encourage your heart. That is a false narrative. I don't care what field you have been in. You have skills hard skills, soft skills, otherwise known as people skills, and experience that is in fact transferable. Here's the point. You aren't limited. So Shelby gets a job as a graphic designer, and she continued her side hustle on Etsy. The goal? To move full-time into her Etsy business. Love that. Haley Jones got her real estate license to sell houses as a side hustle. She's from Knoxville, Tennessee. Taught math for 8 years. She worked at the district level as a STEM coordinator for a couple of years, hoping to implement change after leaving the actual classroom and couldn't find a solution. So in 2020, she got her real estate license and quit teaching. Last year, she made $164,000 in commission. Aubrey Malik left education to become a virtual assistant. Now, this is a great example. We heard the graphic design, but you think about how many teachers are very organized, administratively gifted, planners, executors. Well, you think about the world of virtual assistant. You can work in your house in your sweats and eat Rocky Road ice cream and take care of some executive on the other side of the country. It's very doable. So she's from Olean, New York. And so she got out, launched her, and started as a virtual assistant. Then, this is great, she launched a course called The Prep to show other teachers how to use their administrative skills to become virtual assistants. This is amazing. So she goes and gets a day job as a virtual assistant, and then goes, huh, I think other teachers could do this. I'm going to create a course to help them do it. And she did it. You ready for this? Listen to this. Last year, she generated over $105,000 in revenue just from the course. It's fantastic. All right, next story. And some of you are going to laugh when I read this headline, but this has some implications. Pizza has a delivery problem. CNN. In March, Domino's then CEO Rich Allison warned that driver shortage would be a drag on business. He was right. In the first 3 months of 2022, delivery at Domino's U.S. stores fell by 10.7% year over year. Overall, sales at the stores that had delivery problem issues fell 3.6% due to the fact they just can't get guys to deliver or gals to deliver pizza. Not just Domino's, Pizza Hut. Sales in the United States dropped 6% in the first quarter due to our delivery channel, where capacity constraints limited our ability to meet demand. Don't you love corporate speak? That's part of the problem, that kind of a statement. Where capacity constraints limited our ability to meet demand. They can't hire people because they don't know how to attract talent. So a lot of solutions they're working through. Here's the fun takeaway. Papa John's has faced some staffing shortages, but this is from their CEO, Robert Lynch. We feel pretty good about staffing. Our premium positioning is a different model than the folks who are talking about staffing. There's the corporate speak again. He goes, we're premium price. We don't require as many transactions. Would you all like me to decode that? It means their pizza costs more because it's better. They're not struggling. This is not an endorsement of Papa John's, but I'm just telling you. Papa John's, better pizza. You make your own decision. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Helping you discover and do what you were born to do. This is the Ken Coleman Show. More money, more impact. And part of that, by the way, is helping you get the job, right? The competitive edge. Think of me as your coach. I want to help you beat the competition because you are in a competition. One of the ways we do that is not just through the teaching, the content, the resources we create, but partnerships like ZipRecruiter, the number one hiring site in the United States. ZipRecruiter understands the job process can be icky, sucky, frustrating, lonely, all the things. And so their artificial intelligence does a lot of the work for you. They send you job opportunities for you to apply to with one click, not filling out a new resume every time. And because they're Zip and because companies are paying ZipRecruiter for access to you, not only is it a free service for you, but you stand out because while you're doing your life, they're pitching you to companies that have positions that match up to your profile. Again, no brainer. ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com. All right, I got to get to the chat room. They had some pizza suggestions. We were talking about delivery companies struggling to deliver pizza. So, of course, the YouTube crazies who are trying to save a buck or two, they start throwing out, hey, Ken, what do you think about this brand of frozen pizzas? So Gary Spratt is one of the, he might be our chief crazy. I might have to give him the hat, chief crazy. He says DiGiorno's. I'm okay with DiGiorno's. It's not great. It's not awful. Tombstone, I'm going to say is good, not great as well. I put both of those in the same category. Not my first choice. Somebody in here threw Costco out. And I got to tell you, oh, geez, hold on. Before I comment on Costco, because I got some comments on Costco pizza. Somebody put Lean Cuisine in here. Are you kidding me? Grant Lowry, I need your man card, sir. Can somebody revoke Grant's man card for suggesting Lean Cuisine pizza? Okay, so I'm looking at the here. Let me get this over. So let me tell you what. So I got two teenage boys, 14 and 16. They're literally eating me out of the house. It's unbelievable. So, you know, frozen pizza is not the greatest thing in the world for you, but kids eat it, and so we go get it in bulk. So, Alex, I got to tell you this. The other day, she brought home some deep dish pizza from Costco. Meat lovers? Unbelievable, Nathan. I would eat it with you watching a Vikings game. It's that good. You would never know if I pulled it out of the oven. You would never know it was from Costco. It's in a square. It's just really, really good. So I got to tell you, my vote for the best frozen pizza right now is the Costco deep dish. I don't know what the brand is, but you can go find it. So there you go. This is the kind of content that's extra. And you know what? It makes your life better. You know it. I know it. So there you go. All right, let's get back to the phones for another coaching session. Speaking of the Vikings, Nathan, Joshua on the line from Minneapolis. Joshua, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, how are you, Ken?
I'm living the dream, Joshua. What's going on?
Good. So, I am 23 years old. I graduated in December of 2020 with a bachelor's degree in marketing. And right out of college, it was kind of a rough market for jobs. And so I just took a position as a customer service associate at a large company, one that I know has a good reputation. I'm just now hit a year in that job, and I really liked it at first. It was a good start, but now I'm really just dreading it every day. The department is just really going downhill, and I'm just ready to get out of there, but I'm not really sure what I want to do anymore.
Okay, good. So let's look for some clues in what you like and what you dread. You just shared that you've got both of those emotions. So before you dreaded this job, you said you really liked it. What specifically did you like about it? Give me everything. Tasks, coworkers, leader, environment. Think of everything you liked about it at the time. What was that?
I think I just really liked the challenge of being able to help out each customer to the best of my ability. And now I've really just figured out how to solve every problem that I just feel like it's so repetitive. And
okay, great. That is really a terrific clue. Okay, that's a great clue. So while you loved helping customers at first, now you don't. It's because you don't have a challenge. But you did like helping customers. So as we look for something new, there needs to be some recognition that, well, another job that could work for me is still one in a customer service role, but a much more challenging, maybe evolving role. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
You're still going to always like helping people. So when we master something, we get bored. And one of the number one causes of burnout is boredom. You're bored. Mm-hmm. You're like, you can do it with your eyes closed. Spin you around, smack you in the head. You can still help, right?
Yep.
That's part of it. What else did you like, if anything else?
That was pretty much it for the most part.
Okay. You said, though, the department's going downhill. That speaks to your environment. And I don't know anybody that likes to be on a losing team except for Vikings fans. Do you know what I mean? I'm kidding. Yeah. I had to say that because Nathan is there and you're in Minneapolis. I'm kidding. You guys are going to get better, I promise. Hang in there. It's just a cheap shot. It was a cheap shot, Nathan. I'm so sorry. Joshua, it was a cheap shot. I'm sorry. But you get my point. Nobody likes to be on a losing team, right?
Exactly.
So how much of that is factoring into this?
Well, I'm a very competitive person, it's kind of a big factor.
Bingo. Bingo. You're looking at other divisions going, man, sure would like to be over there, right?
Exactly.
Do you feel shame?
Kind of. I mean, I feel like I'm pulling my weight a lot and just not getting the help from coworkers around me, or even I feel like management is even having a hard time like picking up on that.
Yeah, so you're frustrated, aren't you?
Yes.
You've had it. Can you fix it? Yes or no? Yes or no? Can you fix this problem?
No, I cannot.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it your fault?
No.
Okay. Now how do you feel?
Well, it feels good not being the problem.
That's right. And what have you figured out? You and I just talking back and forth. What do you think is the biggest issue now?
I think the biggest issue is just the management and like the feeling that I just really want to get out of there. But yeah. The biggest issue is I'm just not sure even what to look for. Like
there
I'm not
we
even
go.
Sure what I really want to do.
Okay, great. So it's ideas. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was hoping you would say, and I'm here to coach you. So the issue is not ideas. The issue is ideating, right? Looking, starting to look. So here's what we know. We know you love doing people work, correct? You like working with people and people problems, right?
Yes.
Yeah. See, there's four buckets of work. People work, ideal work, which is kind of the space I'm in. I'm in idea and people, and then I'm coaching people, but I'm creating content all the day. So I'm doing people and idea work. But then there's process work. Right? Those are developers and you know, operations people and project managers. And then there's things work. And what I mean by that is people fixing stuff, HVACs, cars, you know what I'm talking about? Carpenters, building. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
You're in the people bucket is what I feel. Is that true?
Yeah, I would say that's pretty true.
All right, then. Start looking today for people-related jobs, meaning I'm people-facing, I'm people-helping. I'm solving people problems with what I do best, listening, discerning, analyzing. That's your jam, yes?
Yep.
Well, then that's industry-wide. That's not one industry. That's multiple industries. So I think it's a little intimidating when we go, okay, it's not here, but where? And that's the right question. But instead of looking where, I want you thinking about what. This is the type of work, the what I want to do, and this is why I want to do it. When you're focusing on the what, people-focused work, why? Because I really like interacting with people and solving their problems and kind of coming in as that servant, guide, instructor, swami, whatever. Am I still making sense? Does this all sound like you?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So we now know the what and the why, and now as you're looking out there, the where will take care of itself. You got it?
Gotcha.
Joshua, you got this. You just need to look, man, because now you know what you're looking for. You got this, man. And hey, I'm sorry for the shot at the Vikings. I'm going to have to pay for that with Nathan. I got to get out of here and take my punishment. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Ramsey Call of the Day.
Check out our new Ramsey Call of the Day podcast. It'll give you a quick hit of advice about life and money in under 10 minutes. Listen to the Ramsey Call of the Day, wherever you listen to podcasts.